now we can breathe. Oh boy, that's a good one. You know, one of my favorites when I was in college, one of my favorite songs actually were the Negro spiritual. I don't know if you still remember that word, Negro spiritual. In the 1970s and 1980s, when the King's Herald was, you know, very world-renowned, Wayne Hooper was the most prolific composer, arranger of the King's Herald. And most of his songs were Negro spiritual. And that's why we enjoyed it every time we have a quartet. And in the college, we have so many quartets. And I was one of, you know, the many quartets there. And this is one of the songs that we actually sang. This Little Light of Mine. And then, of course, you know that the arrangements haven't changed until now. If you listen to the King's Herald, it's still there. All right, so this Little Light of Mine. We don't have children today, so I was supposed to say a little story about children, about the light. Well, we have two children. No, one evening, a little child asked the mommy, "Mommy, is the moon the light of God?" The mom said, "Yes, honey." "Well, does he ever put out the light when he goes to sleep?" And the mother said, "No, my child, he doesn't go to sleep." So the child said, "If he doesn't go to sleep, then I will sleep." "Okay, child, sleep tight." That's the story, a little story about that little light of mine. So our text for today, as read already, it's about taking care of somebody. And the king said, you know, in that verse 40, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Remember that word. If you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. That's the message of the word today. The title is Healed to Heal. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for this occasion that we can learn something from the word, from the scripture, that you have given us this mandate that we should serve our fellow men, especially to the least of these my brethren. We pray that you will be with us for the rest of our worship in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus showed us the example while he was here. He was mainly concentrated on the healing ministries. Healing ministries. And before we get to that, let's do some definition just to make sure we got the real meaning and the concept of the word healing. What is the meaning of healing as opposed to curing? Curing is what? It's the absence of the disease, right? What about healing? Healing, according to the Bible, is what? Is to restore the health. It is making whole or well, whether it's the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. So healing encompasses more than just the curing. We say, pray for healing. We're not praying that the person will live, you know. We're not praying that the person will change anything, but the whole concept about the healing is the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. So, we don't have children? Oh, I forgot. You had two children. I was told to give the keyword. The keyword is healing. I don't know if you will get some rewards out there. Pastor is not here. So, what is the purpose of a Christian life? The purpose, it starts with a question. What was your goal to start with? Do you have a mission to accomplish? When you're a child, well, let's start from the baby, you know. because these are different stages in the life of a person where goals are set, milestones are achieved, and then once you achieve that milestone, you change to a different goal again. Well, let's start from being a baby. The baby, what is the goal? Feed. What else? Make them sleep, make sure they're well, and you go through the routine over and over again. Clean up the kid. Number two, when they become older, what do? They start walking, they go to school. What's the goal now? The goal is make sure they get education, they get the good character. They go to school, and then you teach them the right way apart from the bad way. Now they become young adult. They go to high school, or maybe middle school first, high school. Well, what's the goal? The goal is to graduate, to get more education. And this time, you start looking around, I like her, I like him, things like that, right? Only looking, nothing else, just look. Now, you get to the adult stage. Now, the adult stage consists of the productive phase, the retirement, and then the waning part of being adult. During the productive years, this is where most of our energy is spent. The question now here is, now you're married, you got a job, do you have a stable job? Do you have enough resources to feed your family? Do you have enough resources to send your children to school and other things? So you might start at this period, to think about, what really is my purpose in life? Am I going to be a preacher? I'd like to be successful, right? You may start thinking about that when you're in the high school period. But when in college, you start thinking seriously about what you really want to accomplish. I want to be a successful something. We talk always about money. We talk about being famous and being the most influential speaker in the world. The question now is, how do you find success? Successful in what? I want to be a successful politician. And that creates a question in your mind. What do you mean, successful politician? You have to overcome barriers, and you have to step on others' toes to get there. So, being famous, have lots of money, and having intact families, is that all? Is that your only goal in life? To be happy? Some people are happy because they have lots of money. They became drug lord. Some people are successful scientists because they were able to invent the most horrific nuclear bomb in the world. One bomb can kill how many hundred thousands of people? Do you remember Hiroshima? It was just a small bomb compared to what we have right now, nuclear hydrogen bomb. One bomb dropped in Hiroshima killed how many people? More than 100,000. 3 days later, they dropped another bomb in Nagasaki. How many people were killed? More than 100,000 people. And America was supposed to drop another 3 bombs in different cities in Japan. Fortunately, the emperor capitulated. We surrender. No conditions. We surrender. It's too much. Too many people died. Is that the goal? To invent the best tool to kill people? God's goal is different. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have in God, and ye are not your own? For we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God in your body, which are God's. Your body is not yours. In Psalms 139, 14, it says, originally he created us in his own image. carefully and wonderfully made. What does that mean? Own image, that means we were made beautifully. Physical aspect, perfect. Mr. Universe, Miss Universe, okay? Carefully, that means every part of the body was created just right. What is wonderfully? That means every part of the body is synchronized with one. The brain synchronizes everything, the hand, what the hand do, the feet, the eyes, the ears. And no supercomputer can duplicate that. Not even the supercomputers combined together. Combine all of this, put it in one small piece, like this big. Put it inside the skull. What you had? The most outstanding, wonderfully made brain. Perfect to start with. What happened next? Man sinned. Everything was corrupted, right? And everyone has his own way. God intended us to do this way, but some people want to do it the other way. So people's geniuses sometimes lead us to something horrific. Now, there are other people who would worship, glorify God in some absurd ways. Centuries ago, in the heathen temples in the old world, there were priests and priestesses. And you know how they glorified God? They glorified God in the temple by doing sexual immorality as a praise to God. How absurd is that? Horrific. We have seen those temples. We are privileged to see those temples, the ruined temples in Greece and Turkey one time. And that's when I realized this is how bad the situation was. It was pervasive during that time. And how could you fathom that being a Christian? It's unbelievable. They glorify God in their bodies by doing immoral acts. So the body is a gift, the health from God. The body and the healthy body is a gift from God. Now, the question for you is, have you ever gotten sick? Any exception? Everyone got sick, right? And everyone got healed. The reason is you are here today. Now, some of us have had horrific, harrowing experiences. And I can tell you one story. Now, baby, one time, 1 year old, was stricken with fever and breathing problem and weakness. Now, this story happened in the Philippines. It happened in a remote area in the Philippines, remote from other civilization. Now, the father of the baby was a mission school teacher, so they were assigned in that very, very remote area. And you can tell, you know, the setting. Remote means far away from the nearest hospital, far away from the town to buy some things. Takes quite a bit of thinking, you know, before you bring a baby to the doctor. But this time, the fever and the illness doesn't go away. So they brought the baby to the hospital, to the doctor. And the doctor's diagnosis was, your baby had diphtheria. Does that ring a bell? Diphtheria? You don't know what diphtheria is? Diphtheria is a disease, a bacterial disease of the babies. Now, when you get it, you will die if you don't get treated with antibiotics and the antitoxin. Now, if you remember, before you go to school, in high school or anywhere in school around here, you're required to have the vaccination. DTP, tetanus, everything. The D means diphtheria. Why? Because it was a deadly disease in the 1950s, 1960s. Now, since I've been practicing medicine here in the U.S., I haven't seen one. No, not seen one. In other words, the vaccine for diphtheria, tetanus, everything has worked very well. When the parents receive that news, it's like saying, oh, our baby is going to die. Considering that the area is a remote place. Now the question comes is, do we have any treatment? And the doctor told them the treatment is available in the nearest hospital, which is about 6 hours away. That is if you have the bus or the right transportation. The mode of transportation at the time was horse, mainly carabao. You know what a carabao is? That's the local word for water buffalo. And water buffalo, if you walk, you're faster than him. The bus, it comes maybe once, twice a month. You had to travel 6 hours. How do you get there? So there's so many questions. Do we have the money to buy the medicine? And do we have the transportation together and be back in time? Because I was given only, you know, the baby was given only 12 hours because getting weaker and weaker. So in other words, you do not know. Finally, the task was given to the uncle who did his amazing job of leaving right away, secure the money, and try to be back in time. And the waiting started. The saga of this waiting and agonizing for the potential death of a child is so stressful. It can be so stressful to the parents. And I have seen parents who have sick children in the hospital, and it's hard to imagine what they feel. Sometimes we say, I feel your pain. We were told that's not the right way to say it. I can just imagine your pain. You will never know my pain. So we were told, we were taught in school or anywhere we have ethics lesson that you don't tell the parents or whoever that I know your pain. No, you never know the pain. I can just imagine your pain. So the parents waited, and the relatives around waited and waited. 6 hours come, that means they were just imagining that maybe he arrived at the hospital. 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, everyone was waiting, looking over the window and see if anything comes. No activity. And finally, the baby is almost at its last breath. Finally, the medicine came. Given immediately. Now, the other saga again continued. Will it work? Is it too late? Baby is not moving anymore, not eating, not drinking. Breathing is kind of difficult. So it's like a hopeless situation. Everyone was praying. The whole church, small community of church members praying. And you know what? Imagine to the parents, no sleep, no energy. So every now and then they take a cat nap here and there. And finally, the mother took a glimpse after she did a nap, saw the baby moving, and then moved a little bit more. And now there was life. It's like in the movie, at the end, you know, the baby was saved with the antitoxin, and the antibiotic. The baby was saved. And he was able to tell you the story because that's me. The question now is why I was spared? That's a question. So not everyone will have the same experience. Now some experiences will be worse than that. And the question now is, you got healed. What do you want to do now? Do you want to stay healthy or you want to go back to your previous unhealthy habit? Now, I see this situation all the time. I see a patient who would go to us having breathing problem because of COPD. What's COPD? Meaning, you know, the effect of tobacco for a long time. And so he could not breathe. Give them treatment. And the first statement I would tell them is that you have this because you smoke. If you stop smoking, this will not happen again. The next time around you see them again, what did they do? They did the same thing. What did the Bible say? When you sin, will you continue to wallow in sin? You change your ways. We change our ways. Now, God gave us the body, the healthy bodies. What is the purpose of our healthy bodies? Serve, right? What else? To glorify Him. Now, God intended us, intended our bodies to be spent for others, to serve. He wanted us to glorify Him, and He wanted us to praise Him in any way we can. So first thing is, the purpose is to enjoy His creation. Do you enjoy His creation now? Is the situation here same thing as maybe 20 years ago? No. Or maybe go back 50 years ago. Was it all this area pristine with all the forests, the rivers, and all the wild animals roaming? The areas that are considered pristine right now is shrinking so fast. Can you enjoy the nature, the beauty of nature, when everything around you is destruction, mayhem, wreckage? It's hard to do that. But we still have to glorify Him in any way. What did God say? In everything, give thanks. Anyway. Now, the other purpose is to serve. To serve Him. Romans 12, verse 1. What did it say? Therefore, I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. What does that mean? If we serve, if we offer our bodies as living sacrifice, that itself is worship. So the significant part of God giving us the health is to spend on others. Question is, should we spend it more on ourselves or on others? Because now the tendency, human tendency, having corrupted mind, is that me first. Let me preserve my body. I'll keep up with the latest plastic surgery. I'll keep my body in shape. Now, example of how people spend their bodies, mom, mothers, they spend their bodies to take care of the child. How about those people who take care of their elderly folks who are not able to take care of themselves anymore? Yes, they do. What about those healthcare workers? How to do their job? And sometimes they succumb to the disease and they themselves die. How many people did I see that? How many people do I know? Hospitals, nurses, physical therapists, doctors died because they contracted a disease. We don't know here, you know, because our environment is different. But you are in the medical field, you will realize that. Many people have died. One of those examples that really offered their body for sacrifice was Mother Teresa. You know Mother Teresa, right? Very famous. Won the Nobel Prize, in Nobel Peace Prize. She was a nun from the now country of Macedonia, came to India and founded a charity foundation. And the only purpose is to take care of the abandoned, the outcast, and the helpless. And who are those people? The very poor, the very destitute, the AIDS. How many AIDS people did she take care of? Many. And many died, even on her hands. But she was that willing partner, offer her body to sacrifice for the sick. If we have a healthy mind, we can serve better. And if you have a healthy mind, we can think better. Jesus gave us the example. When he was here, he healed a lot of people. He traveled from one place to another. Although he concentrated his ministry in the city of Capernaum, although he went to Jerusalem where he healed, you know, the lame, everything. He even went to the country of the Gadarenes where he healed the demon-possessed. One example of his healing was Peter's mother-in-law. He must have loved his mother-in-law, right? That's a good example from the Bible. Mother-in-law is always a good topic to talk about. So why mother-in-law? The mother-in-law got sick with fever, and she was not able to work. Peter's mother-in-law's house was just a stone throw away from the synagogue where Jesus always used to preach. So after the synagogue preaching went to the house of Peter's mother-in-law, of course, Peter brought him there. And he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Immediately after she was healed, what did she do? She got up and served. She got up and served. When he went to the country of the Gadarenes, he healed the demon-possessed man, not only physically, but mentally, spiritually. And after the healing, the man said, "Jesus, can I go with you?" What was the response? No. Go back to your own people. Tell them what the Lord has done for you. That's what Jesus did. He healed. And he went to different places. And he went outside the confines of the Jewish nations. He crossed boundaries, cultural boundaries, geographic beliefs, social. He did all those. That's why he's called the ultimate missionary. Can we be missionaries? Cross boundaries? It doesn't have to be next town. It can be only a cultural belief. It could be social beliefs. But being a missionary will be another topic, another sermon, another time. So let me get back to the topic here. Who comprised the healing team? We always know the healing team consists of the people in the hospital, right? The doctors, nurses, physical therapists, occupational therapists, psychologists, social worker, the security, the nursing aide, the cafeteria, the one who serves the transporters, everything. Did I miss anything? Yes, that's good. What's missing in this healing team is you. Why are you part of the healing team? Before a person gets sick, you are there. When they get to the hospital, you are there to visit them. When they go home to recover, you are there. When they continue with their chronic illness, you are there. And then when they succumb to the illness and die, you are there. In other words, you have the most opportunity to be with the family and with the patient than any of these hospital workers. In other words, your role as a healer is much bigger than what they have. You know, when we graduated from medicine, we have to take this oath. We call it the Hippocratic Oath. It was originated in the 200 centuries by Hippocrates. Now, Hippocrates has another peer called Galen, who was also the renowned surgeon around the time. Outside of Rome, that was in Turkey, which was under the Roman Empire, they have the biggest hospital. Hippocrates and Galen was there, and they were the ones who originated the ethics of medicine. That's why we use the Hippocratic Oath, because we swear by what it says. The modern vision, the version of the Hippocratic Oath, I will just mention it to paraphrase it. You have to do the best you can with your ability and judgment to treat. You have to respect the hard-earned gains from the older physicians, and you have to gladly impart your knowledge to the next generation. And you should not be ashamed to say, I don't know. And you have to respect the privacy of the patients. I will prevent the disease whenever I can. And remember, you have an obligation to all my fellow human beings. We did that when we graduated. I do not know now if they do. But the meaning of that Hippocratic Oath is still true today. And everything that's said in the Hippocratic Oath is embodied in the mandate that God gave us. It's given to us to do what? To serve. Take care of the, from the memory text, take care of the sick, take care of the naked, the people in prison, comfort them, everything. So the meaning of this kind of work hasn't changed throughout the centuries. The meaning of this work is not about modern medicine. It is service. And it's not the work of the intellect. It is the work of the heart and the soul. And the intention to show the love, no matter what the capacity to return the favor or not. You are the healer. Now, as we approach the golden years of our lives, and every time I say that word to my patients, I said, golden years. It always happens, but I'd like to say it anyway. It said, it's nothing golden. It's anything but golden. It said, it's rotten. But anyway, as we approach to the not so golden years of our lives, we ask the question, what have I done in my life? So we reflect on those events that happened to us. We got sick. We were healed. Did we do anything to the sick, to help, to administer, to minister? So what matters most in your entire life at this point? Have we fulfilled our final goal in life? The last milestone? To leave a legacy to be remembered by and to fulfill the mandate that God gave us? That's a question we all have to answer. What is our legacy before we die? Just to serve in the church, just to be a preacher, there's an overall transcendent goal to accomplish. That's the last milestone. All of this, the message is all summed up in the memory text that we read today. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it to me. Let us pray. O Lord God, the creator of the universe, the giver of life, we stand before you so grateful because of the gift of life, and for the love of family and friends, and for the sacrifices that our brothers and sisters have made for the sake of love for another human. Lord, sustain our health so we can continue to serve you till we can no longer serve. We ask all of this through the name of Jesus, who served as an example for us. Amen.